Our announcements for tonight are as follows. This meeting is being conducted in person at the Rio Vista Water Treatment Plant Boardroom. As a convenience to the public, members of the public may also participate virtually by logging into the agency's Zoom meeting. Any member of the public may listen to the meeting or make comments to the board using the call-in number or Zoom webinar link. In the event there is a disruption of service which prevents the agency from broadcasting the meeting to members of the public, using either the call-in option or internet-based service, this meeting will not be postponed or rescheduled, but will continue without remote participation. The remote participation option is being provided as a convenience to the public and is not required. Members of the public are welcome to attend the meeting in person. To participate in public comment from your computer, tablet, or smartphone, when I announce the agenda item you wish to speak on, click the raise hand feature in Zoom. You will be notified when it is your turn to speak. Please unmute when requested. To participate in public comment via phone, when I announce the agenda item you wish to speak on, dial *9 to raise your hand. When it is your turn to speak, dial *6 to unmute. We do have members of the public present. I would remind those members there are public comment cards in the lobby area, just outside the boardroom, to help facilitate the public comment process. Please complete one of those forms and return it to the board secretary. The procedures for tonight's meetings are as follows. I will introduce each agenda item. Staff will present. I will ask for public comment. I will then ask for discussion and questions from board members. Please raise your hand. Once concluded, I will ask for a motion and a second. After any further discussion, the board secretary will call for roll call votes. All directors are present with the exception of Director Bronstein. For the moment, I believe she is on her way. We will continue the agenda and move on to item 3, public comment. Members of the public may comment as to items within the subject matter jurisdiction of the agency that are not on the agenda at this time. We ask that members of the public wishing to comment on items that are listed in this agenda do so at the time each item is considered. Members of the public wishing to comment on items covered in closed session before they are considered by the board may also do so at this time as well. I do not have any public comment cards on being submitted. Are there any public comments on items not covered in the agenda or public comments regarding closed session tonight from online or in person?
President Martin, there is not. And just to let you know, Director Bronstein is stuck in traffic and is on her way.
I didn't get the second part of that, April.
Director Bronstein is stuck in traffic and is on her way.
Okay, very good. We will welcome Director Bronstein when she gets through the traffic and gets here. All right. With that, we can move to item 4, approval of the agenda. Are there any changes to the September 19th, 2022 board agenda from the board? Seeing none, are there any public comment on the agenda?
There is not.
The agenda is hereby approved. We can move on to item 5, consent calendar. There are 3 items on the consent calendar that you see in your packet. Are there any public comment on the consent calendar before we consider it?
There is not.
Very good. I would entertain a motion for approval of the consent calendar. A motion by Director Cooper, second by Director Peterson. Is there any further discussion? Director Armitage, go ahead.
I have what I think will be a very quick question on 5.2. I don't want to pull it, but if I could just ask the question before we vote.
Okay.
So for 5.2, which is the coating of the 2 tanks, and I try to listen to the committee meeting, so I'm not asking a repeat question, but I didn't have a chance to listen to this one, so I apologize. I just wanted ask if there's been consideration given to what precautions may need to be taken to prevent any harmful effects from the sandblasting, since that's been kind of a topic of discussion in the past.
Good question. There are. We have inspectors on site full time, and we will be paying particular close attention to that. I would also point out that for these two tanks, the amount of work done outside of the tank as compared to what you're referring to is very minimal.
Thank you.
All right. Any other discussion on this before we call for the vote? We have a motion and a second. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
As I call your name, please state how you vote. Director Cawley.
Yes.
Director Cooper.
Yes.
Director Bronstein. Oh, she's not here. I'm sorry. Director Armitage. Oh,
yes.
Do you consent want to say calendar. Yes for the consent calendar, Director Bronstein?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Director Armitage.
Yes.
Director Peterson.
Yes.
Director Marks.
Yes.
Vice President Ozahosky.
Yes.
Vice President Gutzeit.
Yes.
And President Martin.
Yes.
Thank you. The consent calendar is approved, and that includes resolution numbers SCV-381, SCV-382, and SCV-383.
All right. For the record, Director Bronstein has joined us, and we now have a fully staffed member of the board here. All right. Very good. We can move on to item 6, general operations presentation presented by Chief Operating Officer Keith Abercrombie and Principal Engineer Jason Yim. Mr. Abercrombie.
President Martin, members of the board, good evening. For some of you, this will be a partial repeat because this presentation, some of this was what I presented as my operations report at the last E&O committee. And the committee thought it was a good idea to highlight some of these things for the benefit of the full board. So we brought that back along with some other things that we've added. The first thing that I'm going to talk about are just some general activities and projects that the TDOMS, the Treatment Distribution Operations and Maintenance section, has undertaken in the last 3 to 4 or 5 months. And partly highlighting things or the capabilities that our staff have to complete these projects sort of from ground up. And it can cover all the gamuts of the trades from our SCADA technicians and their work to our electricians and their work to our utility operations team and our treatment or water systems team and their activities. So next slide, please, April. So I'm going to talk about briefly three different projects that have happened. The first, CDF, is a short for Castaic Disinfection Facility. And staff undertook the process of converting this facility, which is a fairly old facility, but converting it from aqueous ammonia use to liquid ammonium sulfate. That provides for a more a safer product to use, for one thing. The second thing I'm going to talk about is the Galbreath Pressure Regulating Station. This is a facility that serves what we call a subzone. So this is a group of homes or a community, if you will, that does not have its own dedicated tank. There's a tank up high somewhere that serves a big zone, and then there's this little subzone that's a little bit too low in elevation to be served directly from that tank. The pressure would be too high. So connecting this subzone to that tank's zone is a pressure regulating station that reduces the pressure and keeps the pressures at the levels we want for the community. And then the last thing I'm going to show you will be a very brief, it's a time-lapse video, no sound or anything, but it shows one of our crews doing a pump and motor removal project on well U6. Next slide, please, April. Nope.
There we go. One, this one's it, right?
Well, there you've seen my whole show, so. Yeah, I know. So now, thank you very much. Well, there's the video. You can enjoy it while it's like. That's the crew pulling the pump and motor out of well U6. And I'll tell you why they did that in a minute. Maybe you'll watch it again.
Yeah, I don't know why it's playing twice. There we go.
Nope.
Do you want me to go back to the
To the beginning.
Okay. Back to the
if you can.
Okay.
One more.
Okay, nope. Here we go.
There.
Okay.
Okay. So the Castex disinfection facility, this is a facility that takes water from three wells, Castex wells 1, 2, and 7, and our one of our on turnout in one. And it disinfects that water, basically the well water, and to be chloraminated. The building, I'll describe these photos briefly, starting in the top row on the left side. The first picture is of the building that is the CDF. The next couple of three pictures show one, the tank, one of the tanks in the building. This is the original aqueous ammonia tank within that building. We removed that tank and some other things in the facility. And you can see in the third slide that the tanks are gone, and you'll see the roll-up door open and the tanks are gone at that point. Down on the bottom left is our new SCADA control panel. And for those who don't know, SCADA stands for Supervisory Control and Data Acquisition. Essentially, a long, complicated word to mean a computer system that helps operate and monitor the controls and the systems that are in use at a particular facility, in this case, the CDF. The next slide shows a new chlorine tank that we are installing. This tank is, we upgraded to be a dual-walled tank for containment purposes. Part of the you'll see some of the header fascia off the top of the building there. Apparently, the calculations weren't quite right. The height was right, but when it became double walled, the height extended a little bit, and so there was some creative work by staff to get the tank into the building, but they were successful. The next slide shows that new chlorine tank and a brine tank back in the old building. And the last slide shows some new electrical junction boxes and so forth that were installed to provide power to a new building that was built. Next slide, please, April. And so the top left slide, again, you'll see a very small piece of the old building in the top of the photograph. And you'll see a pad that's been poured to house a new building. This new building will hold the liquid ammonium sulfate or LAS tank. The next slide shows trenching for conduit for SCADA purposes and for electrical purposes, followed by two slides on the right of the top row that show the new LAS tank and new chemical pumps. And the bottom two slides just show the completed facility for this new building at the Castex disinfection facility. Next slide, please, April. Sure.
The brine that was shown in the previous slide, does that still exist with the new?
Yes.
The new. Okay, so yes. What do we do with our brine?
Make chlorine.
Okay.
Essentially, we use it's a salt generator that makes chlorine from salt. Yep. All right. So the Galbraith breath pressure station. I've told you what a pressure station is and what it does. So the left two photos show the original station. You can see there's some corrosion and other issues going on with the station. Staff went in and did a complete rebuild on the station from ground up, or I should say underground up, new regulating valves, new piping, both above ground and below ground, new isolation valves. They installed new emergency connections so that if this station or these valves ever fail or need to be taken out of service, we can bring in a portable unit to be able to bypass the station and keep the service area in water. And they also put new door on the facility, and instead of the chain link roof, which you can see in the second photo, they installed a more solid or a solid roof over it to help better protect from the elements. And then the last slide, April, which you can start the video, I guess. This is a crew taking out, our water systems team taking out the pump and motor for well U6. This is a process we were doing so that we could do some downhole videoing and also do a casing integrity study to ascertain the condition of the well. We're doing this on every well prior to us putting online a PFAS treatment system at the particular wells. As you know, once a system goes online, the wells generally pump 24/7. They can't really afford to be offline for long periods of time without wasting the resin. And so we've been working with the engineering services section to, as part of the project of building a treatment system, to actually go in, pull the pumps and motors, video the well. If it needs rehabilitation, we work on that at the same time so that when the treatment system is ready to go, the system comes back into place. Less than 200 feet. This is alluvial well. And with that, I will turn it over to Jason Yim, principal engineer.
Actually, could I ask a quick question? On the well where you pulled the motor, do you change the size of the pump because it's going to run 24/7 now, or is it pretty much the same?
It varies really depending on the well and the treatment system. In some cases, we might upsize the pump and motor, not because it's running all the time, but because there's more head that it has to push through to get through the treatment system. In other cases, the pump and motor might be sufficient, but we would probably install what's called a soft starter or a motor controller that will allow us to run the pump and motor at varying speeds instead of 100% all the time.
Thank you.
Oh, good evening, members of the board. So as you see here on this slide, I'll be going over one of the construction projects that we have in progress. Specifically, this one is for our Well 201 project. It's located right behind Whole Foods. So it's across the shopping mall on Valencia Boulevard. Next slide, please. So as you can see in this picture, we took a picture of what it looks like before we started construction. So you can see in the background there on the left side from the street view from Valencia Boulevard, you can see the two existing ion exchange tanks back there. And then behind that wall fence structure, there are other like bag filters and so on, piping, above ground piping. And then from a bird's eye view, you can kind of get a picture of what it looks like before we started construction. Next slide, please. So back earlier this year in January, the board authorized construction for this project to Pacific Hydrotech. Then since then, from February to June, the contractor has been working on material submittals and ordering some of the materials. So about a couple months ago in July, he mobilized on site, and then he's already approximately 18% complete, which is he's making good progress out there. We anticipate construction to be completed around February of 2025, and that's mainly because there are some long lead items for this project, like the motor control center takes over a year to obtain. The VFD as well, it takes about a year. So there are some long lead items on this project that once it gets an order, once it gets approved, you know, we wait for that product to show up and then we can install that at a later date. So, but right now, currently we're looking at February 2025 for completion. This picture here shows the active construction that was recently completed. So you can see this shows them working on that chemical building foundation, the rebar, where they installed the rebar and then they installed the formwork for the concrete. And then on the next slide, please. This picture here on the right shows that the concrete was poured ready for the chemical building. So that's that concrete you see on the right-hand side. And then they're also already setting in the sodium hypochlorite tank pad. So they're putting that on top of the concrete floor there. And then on the left side is the drain line that they have installed in that connects to the backwash tank. So you can see those two existing ion exchange vessels in that picture on the right. And then so there's work going on one side of it and work going on the other side of it. So on the opposite side of the ion exchange vessels, we're installing a backwash tank, and that's where the GAC media vessels will be installed. So next slide, please. So this picture shows that backwash tank I just talked about. So this is what's happening on the other side of those ion exchange vessels. You can see the contractor installing the formwork there for the backwash tank. And then once he puts that in, In a couple of weeks, he anticipates pouring the concrete walls for that tank. And then the picture on the right there shows what it looks like from the sidewalk, Glenside Boulevard, his silt fence to basically maintain sediment control. So he's doing a pretty good job in keeping the sidewalk clean, the pavement clean, as you can see in this picture. Next slide, please. And then this picture was taken just yesterday. So it's an overall site view of the picture. You can see the site. You can see in the background there, the yellow railing that's inside there is that backwash tank that they had excavated out, and they'll be pouring the walls in a couple of weeks. And then you can basically, it gives a pretty good overall view of the site. So the contractor is moving along, and he should be pouring concrete in a couple of weeks. And then once he has that installed, you know, once the GAC vessels arrive, then he can install those as well. Next slide, please. So this picture here shows kind of what we envision in terms of a 3D rendering of the proposed improvements. So you can see the chemical building in the back. That's the yellow. So everything in yellow there is new that the contractor is putting in. What you see in green is basically existing. So like the ion exchange vessels, there's two ion exchange vessels. It's a lead lag, so it's considered one train. We also have two GAC vessels that we're installing and a lead lag as well. So you can see there that's the improvements that the contractor will be working on. And in about a year and a half, we should have it all completed.
How long would it normally take to construct something like this if we didn't have the constraints of waiting for material?
For example, the material is 1 year. So let's say the material could, we get it in, let's say, 6 months, then it cuts 6 months off the project.
Okay, but if I guess my question is, if we had all the materials at the beginning and we started construction when we had everything, how long would it take?
That there in this setting here, it would probably be fairly quick. It would probably take, if we had all the materials, in other words, we ordered it ahead of time, we secured everything ahead of time, and we had started someplace, it could probably be, let's say, six to nine months around that time frame.
Okay, because I guess I'm just wondering why we don't do it that way. So, wouldn't it be more like, is there a benefit for doing things in phases and spreading it out like that? Because I'm also thinking like unfinished stuff. I don't know. Things can go wrong.
That's a really good question. So, you know, there are alternative ways to approach a project in construction. One would be to buy the materials ahead of time, and they would be considered like owner-furnished equipment or owner-furnished materials, then that covers a risk with those materials. So what happens is more than likely we'll go out to public bid, and then we'll basically select the lowest responsible bidder to provide those materials. And then once those materials are provided and we store it on site, what happens is when we go out for the site construction, we do the same thing as a public contract process. We go out as well. And at times you'll have a contractor that's different from the person that supplied the materials. So when we do startup or when equipment gets installed or pipes get put together, you have potential issues of, let's say it doesn't connect up, or you turn it on and something doesn't work, then it's a matter of the finger starts pointing that, you know, I didn't provide the materials, it's not my fault. Or the guy who provided the materials said, hey, at the time I provided, I thought it was good. So the guy installing it, he'll look to the guy installing it as placing the risk there. So there's pros and cons in terms of time schedule, but it does creates a greater risk in terms of when you get into construction. It can lead to potential construction delays and so on. So you don't have one person responsible for the materials and the installation. Otherwise, then you have two parties on board, and the other party that provided the materials in advance, you know, they would want to get paid out once all the materials are basically furnished. So then we'll do a notice of completion, and they would get basically released and all that. So they would then, it'd be harder to get them back in the picture as well. So it creates all other potential issues. But that's something that we do on some equipment that we have done in the past. It's not to say it can't be done at all, but not, we wouldn't do that for all the equipment and materials. But some of that we do identify long lead. We have done, like, for some of the past PFAS projects, the NWELS project, Valley Center Well, we have actually acquired, let's say, the ion exchange vessels separately. And so we have done that. So when we have identified things like that, we would have purchased ion exchange vessels separately. And typically that installer we would have on contract. So that way during construction, that installer would be there. So the risk is still there, but it's it's more contained into just the ion exchange system. So typically if something goes wrong with the ion exchange system, that we would look to that supplier who actually installs that system itself. So they provide it, but they also install that system. So we do that as well, and we consider that pros and cons. It may not reduce time overall. It all depends on the situation. So there are advantages. Sometimes we fold it into one versus having it separate. Because when you start the clock, even separate overall time frame, you might end up with the same amount of months that go by.
Thank you so much for that explanation. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Next slide. Actually, that kind of concludes that presentation. Any questions?
All right. Before we entertain questions, further questions from the board, do we have any public comment, Madam Secretary?
We do not.
Very good. We can then continue with our questions and discussion. Did you have Director Armitage?
Thanks. I don't have a question. I just want to say thank you to Mr. Abercrombie and Mr. Yim for your great presentation. I always appreciate these just like informational presentations when they're given to us as a board, because I feel like I learn many different ways, one of them being visual. So, you know, we read these board packets a lot of times with descriptions of the facilities and the equipment and things like that. But it's really nice to also see photos of them and photos of staff working with it, and also to see the projects in progress. So we approve these projects, and it's nice to see kind of how they're progressing along over time. So I just want to say thank you. I always appreciate these presentations. It's really great information, and I encourage more of this. So thanks.
That's great. No, thank you.
Vice President Ozahowski.
Question to Mr. Abercrombie. So for the facility that was revamped with a new cover, what is the distance between the top of the cover and the top of the walls?
I think it's about 6 inches.
So, excellent. Excellent. And then from, let's say, 2021 to today, have your crews observed any vandalism of any of our facilities? And putting aside teenagers throwing rocks out of tanks because it sounds cool. But other than that, any graffiti? Any loitering?
Nothing really jumps out. We do have instances of graffiti periodically. A lot of times on tanks or the walls, like this facility, it sits in a neighborhood. I mean, it's right next to homes, but you can walk up and touch the wall of it. It's not, doesn't have a fence further out or something. So you'll sometimes see graffiti on walls and things like that. I'm not aware or don't recall any specific instances of any sort of serious vandalism, though.
Have your crews witnessed any trespassing or any facilities that are not regularly manned?
Not really. I mean, you know, we do visit all of our facilities almost daily. And we are looking for things to make sure fencing is in order, to make sure no one is, pried a fence open to put graffiti on a tank or something like that. And so we keep up on that fairly well.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, maintenance is definitely personnel unsung heroes of the water agency. So thank you for your efforts. Back to you, President Martin.
Thank you. Any other questions from the board? The first part of the presentation that Keith put on, the committee, committee asked him to bring it to the full board so that we could at least understand the capability of our staff. I think we're fortunate to have a staff that's able to do some of the work that we otherwise would have to contract out. It not only helps us in scheduling the work, it helps us in the cost of the work. And I think it's very beneficial to the agency, and we're pretty proud of our staff for being able to do that. So thank you, Keith, for the presentation. Thank you, Jason, for your presentation. And we can, at that point, unless there's further discussion, we can move on to the next item. Item 7, General Manager's Report on Activities, Projects, and Programs. Mr. Stone.
Okay, thank you very much. It's great to be back tonight, and just looking back at the last couple of weeks from the last board meeting, I have just a couple of things to report on. One, our just thank the board for their participation and engagement in the recent strategic planning two-day workshop. Sorry, I could not be there for day two, but I did not want to get anybody sick. Heard it went well. So it's kind of been fun piecing together as I talked to different people what their highlights were. And Ed, I'm sure, took copious notes. And so also wanted to report, kind of coming out of that, another step in the process, we had our all staff meeting this week. And the two kind of highlights of that were a presentation from Ed to the staff on their SWOT input. So just as you got a presentation on that for the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats analysis, he was able to kind of feed back to them the collective information that was gleaned from a series of small group meetings with the staff over a few weeks recently, and kind of provide some highlights there, as well as a schedule going forward where there'll be additional opportunities for staff engagement. Also had a chance to do a shorter version of the presentations you saw on Thursday night on the customer satisfaction survey, really emphasizing the good job and then the three kind of focus areas that came out of the insights from comments that we can, you know, the idea that good marks, but a couple of areas where we see we can actually improve. And then also spoke to the staff about the staff survey that we recently did and some of the insights from that as well, improvements that have been made over the last 4 years, but also a few areas where we would like to focus and make more improvements. And there was some overlap with the SWOT analysis comments, which I think was really helpful and kind of validated some of the thoughts that they were coming to us from more than one channel in that engagement of staff, particularly in the areas of, just to pick out a couple, the desire for at least some positions having a better idea of what their career path is and what their advancement path is, and also maybe a little more rigorous approach to providing employees with the tools and knowledge of if they want to advance to the next step or the step beyond that, what are the things that they should be looking to obtain in the way of skills, certifications, training, or experience. It's all in those job descriptions, but it's a little more engaging process to try to develop something that's targeted to particular staff members so that they, if they are oriented towards that goal, they can be preparing for it and not preparing for it when they see the next job announcement coming out and they've got, you know, a week to prepare. So those are just a couple of examples of a number that we discussed, I think, on Thursday night and that we discussed yesterday. So that is kind of it, kind of out of action for a few days in the last 2 weeks. I don't have as much to report on, I guess, but also just thank everybody who helped step in and keep things going and deal with things, and primarily probably Steve and Rochelle last week on things. Appreciate that help. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Stone. Were there any public comments, Madam Secretary?
There is not.
Very good. Any questions or discussion on Mr. Stone's report? Seeing none, thank you. We're glad you're back with us and ready to move on to item 8. Committee meeting recap reports for informational purposes only. There was one report included in your packet. Are there any public comments before we go to board discussion?
There is not.
All right. Board, you have any questions or comments or discussion on item 8, committee meeting recap reports? All right. Seeing none, we can move on to item 9, president's report. I have a few updates to give you tonight. Outside of the agency conference and events, the State of the City will be on October 26, 2023 at the Canyon Country Community Center at 3 p.m. The United Water Conservation District's 2023 Summit on Water for Water Sustainability is also being held on October 26 in person or virtually on the same day at 1 to 4 o'clock. So he's going to have to choose which one. The Valley Industrial Association, the Bash Fire and Ice Ball, will be held on November 3, 2023 at 6 p.m. at the Hyatt Regency. And the Aqua 2023 Fall Conference in Palm Desert will be held November 28 to 30, 2023. Please check your emails from our board secretary on upcoming events and additional VIA and Aqua events. Upcoming board meetings, regular board meeting October 3, 6 o'clock in this room, October 17, 6 o'clock in this room, and there will be a special board meeting on October 20, 1 p.m. for the general manager's annual review. Upcoming committee meetings to be held at Summit Circle in the EWS boardroom at 5:30, the October 5 Engineering and Operations Committee, the October 11 Water Resources and Watersheds Committee, the October 19th Public Outreach and Legislation Committee. All meetings at 5:30. Upcoming committee meetings right here at the water, at the Rio Vista Water Treatment Plant in the boardroom at 5:30, the September 25 Rescheduled Finance and Administration Committee meeting, and the October 16th Regular Scheduled Finance and Administration Committee meeting. Are there any public comments on the President's report, Madam Secretary?
There is not.
Are there any questions from the board or further discussion? Good. Seeing none, we can go to item 10, AB 1234 reports. There was one report in the packet. Are there any additional AB 1234 reports tonight? Director Peterson.
Yes, on September, what was it? September 18th, that's Monday, I had a one-on-one meeting with our general manager, Mr. Stone, and as always, we ran out of time in discussing items such as the groundwater sustainability agency's work on its master planning, as well as other items, including personnel and also he kind of quizzed me about the strategic meeting on Saturday that he missed, so he'd get my opinion things. So I did that after I bring back my memory, which is going away sometimes. So with that, it was a good one-on-one meeting.
Thank you, Director Peterson. Any other AB 1234s? Director Marks.
On Friday, I attend the Economic Development Council's Annual Economic Outlook Symposium. Future speaker was Jack Urtarich. Whose topic was the looking at the future? I guess he describes himself as a futurist. He noted the continuing acceleration of the rate of change, and the need for agency leadership and to take some time out to actually think about change and how new things such as AI can potentially reshape our future. One of the points he made was basically you can expect that just about every job or every job will be impacted by AI in some manner, whether it's the way that we schedule and report work out in the fields, or just totally new ways of doing things, like doing 3D printing of a house or something. Well worth the listen. I think April has the slides that you might be able to.
Yeah, thank you.
To send out to the other board members. And then today, I attended the Council for Watershed Health symposium on the LA River. There was a session that looked at the impact of fire on watersheds. Everything from sediment transport to change in stream water chemistry of the streams. There seem to be several lessons that are items that could apply to our watershed also. That concludes my report.
Thank you, Director Marks. Any other AB 1234 reports? All right, I have a couple of quick ones, and I keep promising to submit my reports in writing as soon as I get cleared to go upstairs to my office. We'll be able to do that. Hopefully that's coming soon. On the 11th of September, I attended a telephone conference call with our general manager review facilitator, Mitch Rosenberg. You're all familiar with Mitch and his work. We discussed cost and scope, and the scope of work is going to be very similar to what we did last year for the general manager review, and I think it went well. So as such, we have a special board meeting scheduled for the 20th of October to take on the longest portion of that, and then there'll be follow-ups. As you recall, last year, he follows up with each director for, as he put it, another bite at the apple, and then the review is completed. On the 12th of September, I attended my monthly telephone call with the Delta Conveyance Executive Director, Graham Bradner, held on Zoom, a chance to discuss items not on the regular agenda and just items of general interest. On the 15th of September, I attended the Delta Conveyance Board briefing that's held every other month. The regular board meetings are held on a bi-monthly basis, and the off month is a board briefing held with a three members of the seven-member board, at least the one I attend. And we get an update from the staff as to the progress of the project and what's coming up. Generally, it's right now we're in the heavy environmental phase as we try to wrap up the EIR for the project. And that concludes my AB 1234s. Are there any public comments, Madam Secretary?
There is not.
Okay, unless there's any questions, we can move on. Let's see. Item 11, director reports. Are there any director reports tonight? Director Brownstein.
Not exactly a director's report, but I think this is where it fits. I didn't have a chance beforehand because it was before, but I want to wish all our customers that celebrate Rosh Hashanah a Happy New Year. And Agmar Chatima Tova for Yom Kippur that's going to be following. That's all.
Thank you, Director Brownstein. Any other director reports? Director Armitage.
Thank you. First of all, I want to thank the leadership for moving director reports up to before closed session so that hopefully more people hear our director reports instead of they turn off when we go into closed session and don't come back. So I appreciate that. Just a few things. I'll try to go quickly. First, I wanted to say that I really liked our strategic planning workshops that we had last Thursday and Friday. I very much appreciated having the time to sit down with all the directors and all of the administrative staff to have, discussions all at the same time so that we could all be talking about it at the same time. And the retrospective discussion we had on Thursday evening, I felt was really great to remind ourselves of all the great things that the agency's done in the last few years. And then the looking forward piece on the Friday, I thought was really great. And the process went really well. I think we had really good discussions. And so I just want to say that I thought that went really well. And I don't know when it would apply in the future, but like that format, anytime we have, I think, any kinds of discussions where it'd be great to bring everybody together, I think that works. And I would say use that again. So thank you for that. Secondly, I just wanted to share a fun little story. I had a wonderful Girl Scout troop reach out to me, and they wanted to come and use the Bridgeport Pocket Park to come and learn more about native plants and how to incorporate them into landscaping. And what they're going to do with the information that they learned is they're going to do their Silver Award project in the Friendly Valley Senior Community and convert a couple of their landscaping areas to include native plants, and then educate the people who live there on why they should incorporate more native plants into there. So that was really fun. And I loved doing that as someone who used to be a Girl Scout leader. That was so heartwarming to me. And it was great to use our pocket park in that manner. So that was fun. The third thing was I want to say that I appreciated being able to join Team SCV Water at the River Rally this past Saturday. That was a really great event, and it was really nice to see so many people. I mean, I don't know if they have like 1,000 people come every year, come together to clean up the portion of our, you know, our waterways that are so important and are such a significant resource in terms of where we get our drinking water. So I thought that was fantastic. I'm wondering if there's any way we can get someone from SCV Water to speak to the crowd before they release everybody to go and do the cleanup, because I know Mayor Gibbs did a little welcome portion. And honestly, I missed it because I walked to my car to get something, but I think it went so fast. But it'd be nice to remind people of that this is where we get our drinking water from, right? Like, this is a significant portion of our water source. So I don't know if like we can use our connection to the city at all. I'm looking at Mr. Strauss in the back to see if we can kind of build that message a little bit at the river rallies. I don't know, just throwing it out there for to think about. And then lastly, I just wanted to share that. So I have my son is wrapping up at CSUN, and I have a daughter who's just starting at CSUN. So there's a lot of CSUN thought going on in my household. And I happen to see that they have a class there that's called Sustainable Development and Environmental Review Analysis. And it's essentially all about CEQA, the process of CEQA, and learning about CEQA and how it gets applied. And so I decided to take it. So I registered it. And I'm sharing with you all, this is my book, that is my textbook that I'm using and learning from. And the professor is a land use attorney, and he's fantastic. And so I am putting it out there. I'm happy to share my Cliff Notes version of what I'm learning with anybody who wants to learn more about the CEQA process too, because it's really interesting and really fascinating world. So that is it. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Armitage. Any other director reports? I'll just add my words of appreciation to the staff for putting together the team that worked in the River Rally. It's hard work. It looks like it's fun, but once you get into it, it's actual hard work. And so fortunately, you didn't have a 100-degree day to deal with. So with that, we can move on to item 12, closed session. We are now going to be going into closed session. The public may stay on the Zoom webinar. Any board members or staff that are connected to the Zoom and are in closed session, please disconnect from Zoom. We will meet in closed session to discuss item 12.1. Members of the public and any staff may stay on the current line. Once the closed session is over, the board will reconnect to the Zoom webinar for closed session announcements and the remaining items on the agenda. We will now be taking a brief 5-minute break while we get the room set up for closed session. We are now in recess. Back in open session, and we can move to item 13, closed session announcements. Mr. Bung.
President, members of the board met in closed session under section 54956.8 of the Brown Act to consider proposed single year transfers to the negotiating parties listed in the agenda. No reportable action was taken.
Thank you, Mr. Bung. Now we move on to item 14, director requests for approval for future agenda items. Are there any requests for future agenda items? Seeing none, we can move to item 15, adjournment. Thank you, board, for a very concisely run meeting, and we are now adjourned.